Case number 20-1048, Produce Pay Inc. versus Spike Farms LLC. Oral argument not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Jordan for the appellant.
Mr. Jordan, you're mute. You need to unmute.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, Your Honor. My name is Albert Jordan, and I'm counsel for appellant Produce Pay. Produce Pay here seeks monies found by the lower courts to be part of the Speech Farms bankruptcy estate. The issue is whether the monies are exempt from the estate because Produce Pay's right is based in the language of the Bankruptcy Code's Section 541D on an equitable interest in the funds. Produce Pay claims such an equitable interest because the Federal Perishable Agricultural Commodities Act, known as PACA, provides one. By the terms of PACA, there is a trust in the proceeds of sale of perishable commodity transactions, and that trust secures payment to unpaid sellers and suppliers. Produce Pay claims the rights of an unpaid seller or supplier in the monies that are proceeds of PACA protected sales. The undisputed facts in the record below that support this claim are a 2017 Produce Pay master contract with Speech called a distribution agreement. It specifies a formula for figuring the amount of Produce Pay rights, and it also allocates the claim that supplies the basis for Produce Pay being in court. In addition,
Mr. Jordan, let me just ask you, in your brief, you argue that the bankruptcy court erred by considering the UCC because it stands as an obstacle to PACA. How exactly is the UCC inconsistent with or repugnant to the act? How is that obstacle created by the act?
Well, Judge Donald, I think the simplest way to say it is that Delaware's version of the UCC says that when Speech sold its produce to buyers like Kroger, that even though it didn't have the money when it delivered the product, that the UCC says that it only has a security interest. PACA says to the contrary. PACA says that Speech has a trust interest, a beneficial trust interest that is, frankly, more significant, and it plays into the language of the statutes that I cited for you in my opening statement. And in fact, I think some of the cases that we cite in our briefs show that PACA was adopted in the mid-1980s to restore a doctrine that treated, before the UCC, the interest of the seller as a trust-like interest. And, of course, PACA has its own terms.
PACA, as you say, is designed to make sure that the seller of blueberries or whatever is going to get paid, even though the blueberries, you know, may rot down the road. But here they did get paid, right? They got the money from the purchaser, the person who gets the blueberries in hand. And now you want to get your hooks on that money, right? Well, it's not that the poor seller, the real seller. I understand you have a sort of legal constructs, but isn't the things that you just raised are a way to make sure that the farmer who grows the blueberries gets paid, not necessarily the person who provides the financing?
Well, that's really where Produce Pay comes in. In fact, they play right into the policies of the statute, Judge Boggs. Actually, Produce Pay is, in fact, providing money to the seller here, and in return getting an assignment of the rights of the seller.
That sounds like a bank. Isn't that what happens? It's like you get a lien.
It's conceivable that it could be, but the statute provides for there to be a trust. And the kinds of things that are concerning to the commerce in these goods are the lenders that I would refer to as downstream that are impairing the...
I'm sorry to interrupt you, counsel. What's your best argument for why you qualify as a seller? Your best textual argument?
Best textual argument is based on the fact that the right of the seller is a trust right, and the trust right is assignable.
So as Ms. Boggs said, it's really a legal construct argument. It's not a pure textual argument. Is that fair?
Perhaps, Judge Tappar, I don't mean to evade the question. I'm just, in terms of understanding what a trust does and what it normally provides for, yes, there is some additional fact that bears on whether we have the rights of an unpaid seller or supplier. Well,
counsel, help me here. I thought the way I read your argument is that you had two arguments. One of them is that because of your financing arrangement, we'll call it, you really are a seller because you have this business where, you know, you get certain rights. Your second argument is that they have, Speech has the PACA rights, but they have assigned them to you. Am I wrong? I thought you had those two distinct...
You're absolutely right, Judge Boggs.
Okay.
And the argument is based fundamentally on a distribution agreement that assigns that involves essentially the creation of a consignment arrangement between Speech and Produce Pay, and as a result of that arrangement, the parties have got transaction documents that are in the record that show that there is a transfer of rights, if you will, and a confirmation of those rights. And furthermore, not only just a confirmation, but a confirmation that PACA controls. And that's undisputed in the record. And furthermore, there is, of course, an advance of money by Produce Pay, which is the kind of thing that creates the equity, if you will, that a trust would be due to honor. And last but not least, in the distribution agreement, it says that Produce Pay gets all right, title, and interest of Speech. So we're not sure what there's left for Speech to get. In the worst sense of the word, in these circumstances, Speech is sort of double dipping here. They got paid by the retail buyers that they delivered the blueberries to, and they got that money, and they also got Produce Pay's money. And in the scheme of a statute that's intended to establish some equity, they can't really say to have that, and that's why
we think that. Isn't that what happens in bankruptcy all the time? People end up with money from different sources, and they, as my prof used to say, wasted in riotous living. They don't have the money, and then people like Judge Donald in her earlier.
Sure, it happens all the time, only we're dealing with a federal statute that says that essentially that the bankruptcy code itself accommodates insofar as there's an equitable interest created, and what's in the bankruptcy estate is merely something that's held by a legal title. And so what we're saying, of course, is that we have the equitable interest that is exempted from the bankruptcy estate. And that's why we made our claim, and that's why we think that our claim is consistent with the equity due a holder of PACA beneficiary rights. I think there is common ground in this case, based on my reading of the red brief, that the trustee concedes that the claimant that maybe not previously have been a seller or supplier may step into the shoes of a seller or supplier. And then the question would be, did these documents put us in that position? And we think the answer to that is plainly yes. You know,
you say that Produce Pay is the type of quote seller that Congress intended to benefit from this PACA trust. And if that is your belief, again, explain why.
Well, I think the distribution agreement provides that it is to have the rights of a seller, and that there are transaction documents that implement that, showing that its relationship to speech involves the delivery of, in this case, there are 35 to 40 disputed or unpaid pallet shipments, and the transaction documents in the record show that they're getting some form of ownership to those pallets, if you will, and that's the source of the claim here. It is commerce in perishable commodities. That's where it comes from, I believe, Judge Donald. We think that it was an error for the court below to sort of seize on the fact, if you will, that because speech had shipped the produce that was listed on each of these pallets, on these 35 to 40 pallets, before identifying them as produce to produce pay, immediately before they got the money, that somehow controls the disposition of this case. And we think that to say that speech therefore lost title before the receipt of funds and somehow could not convey anything to produce pay is not consistent with reality. It's not consistent with the fairness associated with trust doctrine. In our view, the courts below didn't give proper scope to the equitable rights conferred by PACA. Thank you.
Thank you. You'll have your full rebuttal. Mr. Dugan.
Good morning, Your Honors. Connor Dugan on behalf of the trustee of Speech Farms, the debtor. Being a seller or supplier is the key that unlocks the door to the PACA trust. So I think this case really can be distilled down to the question, did produce pay supply or sell produce to Speech Farms? And I think that answer is unequivocally no. They supplied quite a bit of cash, but not 1 ounce of produce. And therefore, the bankruptcy court was right to deny their PACA claim. Judge Boggs talked about the two arguments that that produce pay advances. I think what I just said kind of goes to the first argument, but the second argument in terms of produce pay stepping into the shoes of Speech Farms, to use another metaphor, is trying to put a square peg into a round hole. And let me explain. If Speech Farms selling its produce to Kroger, that creates one of these PACA trusts. If Kroger then happened to go into bankruptcy, Speech Farms would have a PACA claim as against Kroger. And that's the claim that arguably produce pay is stepping into. But it does not create a trust as between produce pay and Speech Farms. We think the cases and the statute are clear that the PACA applies to suppliers and sellers. And I still haven't seen anything from produce pay that shows how they sold or supplied produce to Speech Farms. The distribution agreement's language does not change anything. And that's, I think the bankruptcy court properly went beyond the labels in that distribution agreement to see what exactly was happening. And it's undisputed that every single time that Speech Farms loaded a pallet onto this produce pay platform, the produce had already been delivered to an end user, one of its normal customers.
Counsel, let me ask you, you just used the term end user. Is there law about what happens if there is some type of middleman? That is, if Speech sells to, Alibaba, sure, some Chinese intermediary, and they then sell it to an end user, does that intermediary become a PACA seller or supplier?
Well, I think that's where the
law, pro or con on that?
Yeah, I think that's where the language in the statute or agents involved in the transaction would enter in. I did not see any case law on that, so I can't say that it's come up frequently. But I think that
if they were truly an agent, that is to say, I'm Speech and I just hire a lawyer or an accountant to market my goods, that would be one thing. But if I sell it to a middleman who isn't going to make pies out of it, can they become a PACA seller or supplier? I would kind of guess not, but I'm asking because I'm not familiar with this area of law.
I think it would depend if they go on then to supply or sell it to another.
That's what yeah. I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And all I would say here is that produce pay was actually at the front of the stream rather than serving in that agency capacity, bringing us different grocers. The grocers that Speech Farms was selling to were all its own customers. This would be a very different case, perhaps, if produce pay had been the one going out as a broker and finding the various grocers. Then they might fall within that language of agents involved in the transaction. The question of receivables, which I think I've already touched on, and I would just touch on it again, if they've bought Speech Farms receivables, that's only giving them a right vis-a-vis one of the grocers that we sold to. It doesn't create a trust relationship between Produce Pay and Speech Farms. So if there are no further questions, I'd rest on the briefs, Your Honor, but I think both the brief and what I've said here kind of outlines our position.
Well, thank you for the time, but let me press you then just for a sure. second on the points I was raising, which was, so you sell to Kroger. If for whatever reason Kroger decided to turn around and sell those blueberries to the pie factories, would they become a PRACA seller or supplier just because they decided to sell it further on? I mean, that was kind of the thrust of my question.
Yeah, I missed the thrust of your question, Judge Boggs. I apologize. I think under the plain language, there's a strong argument that they would become a supplier or seller in that context. I don't think it's not raised here, but yeah, I think as I'm reading the statute, I think that the answer would be yes to that question. Okay.
Judge Tappar, any further questions? Judge Boggs, Mr. Dugan, thank you very much for the gift of time.
Well, and
we'll
welcome.
Go back to Mr. Jordan for his rebuttal.
Well, in rebuttal, Mr. Dugan said that nothing shows a sale. I beg to differ with him. I think the transaction documents that I refer to generally, if you will, there are 35 to 40 pieces of paper that are titled confirmation of sale, and they're issued by Produce Pay to Speech Farms, and they are part of the implementation of the distribution agreement.
You know, Mr. Jordan, clearly Produce Pay was in the position of a financing arrangement. I mean, they had no product to sell. They never were in possession of any product or anything like that. So this really was a financing arrangement, wasn't it?
Judge Donald, I think you're right to say that it could be understood to be a kind of financing, but it's not the kind condemned by PACA. It's not the kind that the first subsection of PACA, 499 EC1, speaks of as a burden on commerce, one that involves a financing that prevents the delivery of funds to an unpaid seller or supplier. In fact, what it does is it facilitates the delivery of payment because Produce Pay got the payment to the seller or supplier first and got its rights. They got it to the grower, if you will. And so the farmer, in the perhaps the most fundamental sense of this statute is operating, is being helped. And so if you're looking at the language of the statute, you can't key off the first section and say, well, this trust couldn't be intended to operate for somebody that's received an assignment of the seller or supplier's position because it has characteristics that allow the seller to, if you will, have some form of recourse like a lender would. And so our view is that they're still entitled to the protection of the trust because they are facilitating payment to, at the most basic sense, the grower. And that's how I would respond to your question, Your Honor. And if there are no further questions, then I thank the court very much for hearing me out.
Well, I want to also thank you for the gift of time and would say that the The matter has been argued and is submitted, and we will give you an opinion in due course. Gentlemen, thank you. We bid you a farewell.